magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's finally Friday, November 16th, 2018. Wow, another rehearsal down with the Great News Radio Children's Choir last night. I think we only have like two or three. We're going to try to add an extra one because we won't be meeting next Thursday. Can you believe next Thursday is going to be Thanksgiving?
No, I can't.
Less than a week away. But
I was thinking about that this morning on my drive in here. I was thinking, oh my gosh. We're on the cusp of things. You know, on Sunday we have our Thanksgiving celebration at church where we have a Thanksgiving meal together. And I thought, wow, and then it's Thanksgiving, and then it's Black Friday, and then it's Christmas time. Like, it's Advent. Yeah, and then, oh, my God. I mean, the minute you say Advent, it's like by the time you get to the it's Christmas.
Yeah.
It's like Advent. Oh. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's like, so I just like, now things are just going to wind up fast. And it's funny because when Tasha was gone in Romania, you know, I was going to the grocery store. I was doing some of the things I never usually do. I rarely go to the grocery store because I hate the grocery store.
Yeah, yeah. And our listeners may or may not know, but both of us spent many hours, many years for Jewel Food Store. We were both store managers, and some of those days I've just buried.
Yeah, and so I like going to the grocery store, but I don't like the craziness and all that kind of stuff. My wife, she seems to like to go so she can go. But I had to go, and I was kind of like, oh, my gosh, it is Christmas. Like, oh, look at all the toys, and look at the decorations, and look at the, I mean, everybody's already fa-la-la-la-lying.
Yeah, well, the singing men, we had a rehearsal on Monday night, and we're, you know, very intentional in getting things ready because we only have, you know, so many more rehearsals. And the children's choir last night, you know, they're working diligently. They're going to be a part of the December 8th presentation at the Village Mall in Danville, and then on the 22nd at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. And that's kind of a unique one because it'll be our 20th year in a row. 20 straight years, you know, it's 19 so far, and this will be the 20th year that every Christmas, within a week of Christmas, we sang in our tuxedos. So we're excited about inviting you all out to join us and see the debut of the children's choir.
They'll also be at Marketplace Mall, right?
Yeah, they'll be at both of them.
You know, it's really horrible that I'm even asking you these questions because my kids sing in this choir, which means I have no idea what my kids are doing.
That's right. Yeah, the Burns and Schiffel children will be represented in this great new.
Well, and they're singing. It's funny because they're singing.
The Silent Nights in Mandarin.
Yeah, they're singing Silent Night in Mandarin. So I think it was right at the beginning of when Tasha was gone. One of the kids was walking around the house and they were singing it, you know, and I was like, why are you mumbling? And I'm not mumbling. Well, why are you changing the words? Because sometimes they change the words, songs, and sometimes it is annoying. And no, we're singing this in Chinese. How do you know that in Chinese? Dad, don't you even pay attention?
Yeah,
I'm like, no, obviously not.
Yeah.
But it's cool. It's really kind of neat. I was like, wow, this is really, whenever I hear that kind of stuff, you know, because we're all predominantly American. We attend churches where probably the congregation is predominantly American, American speaking, American singing, all that kind of stuff. When I hear familiar songs in other languages, immediately it just draws me to Revelation 9 and, you know, every tribe, nation, and tongue will worship on this mountain. And wondering what the worship in other languages sounds like. And I just love it. Yeah. I really do.
Well, when we've been in Israel many times, especially the Garden Tomb area where people have communion and usually a worship service and a time of singing. And so it's like you can tell by the instrumentation or the melody or whatever, oh, that's Amazing Grace, or that's our God is an awesome God or whatever. But it might be like South Koreans or Brazilians or a different language, and it's a reminder that, you know, we don't have the corner on the market. Whether some people say, if English was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me because they're reading NIV or something. It's like, well, let me kind of take you back in time.
Well, you know, and you really have to do that. It was interesting that I was in a Bible study group a number of weeks ago where, you know, some guys were talking about, you know, the multicultural ministries within their church. I think it's just a contentious issue right now, and for a lot of people, and maybe for right reasons and wrong reasons. I mean, we do have immigrants who come, and it's good for them to learn the English language because we do predominantly speak English, and it's good for us all to be able to communicate with one another. And so there are some folks who become frustrated because immigrants will come over and they will not necessarily work to adopt the language. I think it's one of the great things that you're doing with the English Conversations classes is trying to help offer an avenue in a way. And I don't want to say that it's that immigrants are necessarily hesitant to want to learn the language, but it's them finding a way to be able to learn the language. Sometimes it's very, I mean, I think about any time I've wanted to learn another language, it's very daunting to try and learn it. It's easy to learn a few, you know, kind of choice phrases to get yourself along when you're traveling. It's a whole different thing to live in a country and have to move and know the language.
Right, right.
And so a couple of the people were lamenting about, you know, people coming and not speaking English here. And it was funny because I just said, wait, can we pause for a minute? I said, we're gathered here tonight to study this book, which is not an English book. This is an Eastern book written originally in Hebrew, then translated into Greek, and then into Old English. And then, you know, and only recently, really, is it in the English that you have it in. So let's just have a moment to realize that, you know, Jesus was not an English-speaking guy.
Yeah, you know?
God did not choose English-speaking people to reveal himself to. I mean, so let's appreciate that.
And I think sometimes, like in worship services, individuals get frustrated. Why isn't it not in English? And yet the beauty of how God has communicated to people in all these languages.
It's God
over
calling.
The
he
year.
Wants to.
Yeah, let's see. I've got to pass that up. Anyways. And the scriptures are clear about extending love and care and compassion to the alien. It's a way for us to witness and to embrace other cultures. And yes, as Americans, we love our English language. We love our culture. We love traditions. And we want to keep those and preserve those. And that's been the blessing to be an American. But most of us Americans were immigrants at some point, came from Europe or wherever. And so, yeah, it's just kind of interesting. But there is beauty in singing in another language. And I hope as the children do present, they're going to have that warming impact and influence. And I know there will be a number of Chinese in attendance and people from other cultures that'll see the beauty of the children's choir that has representation from different cultures and different people groups. So it's exciting to
Well, I think that, you know, it was a thought that I had this morning as I was driving in, and I wrote down even my notebook. It was funny because I came in and my notebook was open, and so I think you thought it was because I had something to share. Well, I guess maybe I did. But it was only really open because it was open in the car, and I had scooped it up and put it back in my bag. But I wrote down here, a diversity of people equals a diversity of disagreement. That one of the great strengths, one of the great powers, one of the really interesting things I find about the church is that,
and this was all before our discussion
started. That, you know, the church is one of the great strengths, one of the great powers, one of the great pictures of the church is that on a Sunday morning, the church is a gathering of people who probably don't agree on everything.
Right.
In the church audience, there probably is CNN people, there probably is MSN people, there probably is Fox News people, there probably are people who have this view on this hot button topic, this view on this hot. We don't all agree on a lot of things, but we do gather together to agree on the one most important thing. And listen, all those other things that we don't agree on, those are lesser things that we try and make more important things out of.
Or turn into the big G God instead of the right
priority. I mean, you know, I don't want to touch on any of those hot button topic issues because half the listeners will turn the radio off because they'll get frustrated. They'll go, well, I don't think that. You know, that guy's an idiot, because that's kind of right where we go. But we gather together as the church, this diversity of people from every tribe, nation, and tongue. When we gather together with others who are not like us to worship the God who called us all together to worship, it's a foretaste of what Revelation 9 says is going to happen. Revelation 9 is this verse that's just been stirring around in my heart for a while, I think since our Israel trip. You know, what does it look like? Especially because when we were in Israel, I think I was really kind of taken. I sat at, you know, the overlook on the Kidron Valley from the Temple Mount side and was able to look across to the Mount of Olives. And the Mount of Olives is the mountain, they say, that every tribe, nation, and tongue will gather and worship the Lord. And so, you know, what is this going to look like when all the disagreements that we have, just think of all the time we have wasted disagreeing with one another, when all of that will no longer matter because every tribe, nation, and tongue will worship on this one mountain, all of us together. And all that division and all that stuff will be given way, all that kind of disagreement will be given way, and there will still be diversity. But that diversity will be focused on one single thing, and that is the revelation of the Lord at that moment. And so, I don't know, I kind of long for that day. I like, Maybe I'm goofy like that, but I kind of more and more like being around people who aren't like me, you know, and people who don't see the world like I do, and people who even disagree with the way I see the world. And the reason I like that is because I think that I need to experience a foretaste. If I'm only around people that I agree with, then I'm just kind of, that's a really small tribe. And there's not a lot to learn because, you know, imagine you're sitting at the table with somebody and you're like, well, you know what? I mean, I think this, this, and this. And they go, yeah, me too. Yeah. Okay, now listen. Then it just stopped, right? Yeah. Yeah, me too.
Yeah, I'm mindful of that prayer that Jesus made. You know, I think I just wrote it down, Father, that we may be one. And that was his prayer, that we would unite, we'd come together, not extinguishing different preferences or individuality or key things, but that we would be unified in our direction and our purpose of loving God and knowing him. And I think
isn't it crazy that Jesus prays that? And that when we are unified, when we gather together with people that we don't agree with, when we gather together with people who we don't see eye to eye with, but we worship together with them, that we're the fulfillment of that prayer.
Yeah.
We're the answer to that prayer. You know, if Jesus was, and he is, but if Jesus were in the room on Sunday morning looking at your congregation as diverse as it is and as divided as it can be on so many issues, he would go, wow, that prayer I prayed back in John 17, that's being answered. Wow. I mean, just the same way that when you look at something and you say, wow, God's answering that prayer. I see it unfolding in front of me. Right. God must have heard that prayer. He's redeeming and working in that. You know, we're the answer to that prayer. When we get together and we be one. You know, Jesus didn't say, well, you know, Father, may they be one as we are one, unless they're Republican or Democrat.
Right.
Father, may they be one just as we're one, unless, you know, they're Cubs fans or Cardinals fans.
Mm.
You know, he said that they would be one as we're in one, that we would have the same. And by the way, that's fascinating that he says that, right? Because the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are one, one in essence and one in being. There are three persons, but that they are joined together, a triunity of one unbound, unbroken person, which is God himself. They are all God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. And so when Jesus says that we would be one like he and the Father and the Spirit are one, he's talking about an intimacy of knowledge of one another, a closeness of proximity that is closer than we can even fathom, because he likens it to how their relationship
right.
is. It's almost kind of mind-blowing, because I can't imagine that kind of closeness, even in the most intimate of my relationships, my wife. I can't imagine the proximity that I would have to my wife that Jesus has to the Father. I mean, Jesus constantly talks about how the Father is thinking and what the Father is calling and what the Father is feeling and knowing. Jesus is calling us to have an intimacy with one another, that we would understand each other's feelings and understand how each other works and understand what each other is called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And just think, when you think about that kind of intimacy, even the people that you would say you know the most intimate things about, you probably aren't even scratching that surface
right,
yet.
Right.
And so how can we be a foretaste of the answer to Jesus' prayer? I mean, I really want to do that. I love John 17. It's one of my favorite scriptures. And I think that Jesus prays, because it begins and it says he looked to heaven. He looked up. And it's the same beginning that we see in Genesis chapter 22, the first mention of love in the Bible. And I think that that allusion is there because Jesus is praying out of a deep sense of love for the Father and for us. When Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and might, and love your brother as yourself, he is modeling that in that prayer. He's saying, I am going to you, Father, because I love you more than anything, but I love these that they might be like us, that they might experience the depth of love and unity that we have. And so, I mean, how do we do that? And that's hard to do in the midst of our, you know, our diversity, because within our diversity, we have so much disagreement. And it's fascinating because, you know, maybe like 15 or 20 years ago, I would have said like, well, you know, I mean, people disagree here and people disagree there. But our world today is so polarized that people disagree everywhere on stuff that doesn't even, like, I see stuff now that I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I heard the other day that, like, if you drink milk, you're racist because it's white milk. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
Like, what are you like, that's just like, that's like division for the sake of just division. Like, there's not even any rationale or reason behind that.
Yeah, it's just to stir up something. And
right.
But I'm thinking, and I've always loved that, God emanates love.
Mm-hmm.
And love exists because there was love in that Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Because where did love come from? Well, it existed before time, in a sense, in the Godhead, because there was that relationship, that communion between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But when we are an answer to Jesus' prayer and we are unified in our diversity, then people will know we are Christians by our love. I mean, it'll be a tangible example in a hurting world. Look at how they're all gathering. You know, I know that's a Republican, that's a Democrat. He works in this area. He makes this kind of money. And this person is whatever. And look at how they come together. And that becomes that vivid illustration, what Jesus wants us to do, to model to the world that we can get along. And it has a huge impact because people say, look at them get together.
Yeah, well, I think the question is then what is love? And I think that love rooted, you know, the root of love is sacrifice. And so how can we sacrifice for the sake of our brothers? Because they'll know us by our love. So they'll know us by our sacrifice. We know Jesus by his sacrifice. The whole world, there's nobody in the world really. Well, maybe there is some. But I think largely at this point in the world, there's nobody who doesn't associate Jesus Christ and a cross. Because Jesus' sacrifice is synonymous with who he is. And Jesus' sacrifice is the ultimate expression of Jesus' love. And so how can we be known? I think be known for our love is by being known for our sacrifice. So how we sacrifice our time, how we sacrifice our treasures, how we hold on loosely to what is in this life. You know, Jesus would say this in Matthew chapter 6, so that we are storing up treasures for the next life, for heaven, storing up our treasures in heaven. You know, how do I really sacrifice? Which means that maybe sitting down at the table with somebody, I don't get to be the loudest voice. Maybe I just need to be the listening voice. You know, and then the one who either encourages or the one who says, well, you know, I mean, tell me more about that. Or, gosh, I really appreciate your thinking like that, but have you considered this? And ways that we sacrifice our own agendas. Listen, every time I sit down at the table with somebody, I have things I think. I have agendas. I have, you know, I have opinions on all those hot-button topics. But a lot of the times I have to shelve my opinion because I need to sacrifice to hear other people. So I can understand how we, number one, how we live in this diversity of opinion, this diversity of people, but also how I'll be known for my love that I listen. You know, one of the great compliments that I, and I don't say this to pat myself on the back, but one of the things that I strive for if somebody's going to compliment me is they say, well, I really appreciate that you listen. You know, because if anything, I just want to be someone who listens. And I think the Bible is so clear on this because James says that everybody is slow to speak.
Right.
Why? Why does he say that? Because we're quick to speak. We always want to say something. We always want to get in our word. You know, and sometimes, and maybe you've experienced this, we spend the time in conversation with other people, not really listening to them, but thinking about how we can formulate the next response to them.
Yeah.
Instead of actually listening to them and maybe going, wow, I don't have an answer for that. That's really difficult. Man, I'm sorry you're going through that. Wow, I never even thought about that. Somebody who I met he's not a Christian, he's a Muslim. He said something to me, and I said to him, I said, I never considered that. And he said to me, this is powerful. He said, you're the first Christian who admitted you had never, to me, that I've ever come across, has admitted to me that you had never considered something.
Hmm.
He said, every the Christians I keep running into act like they know it all.
Hmm.
And he said, I really appreciate that you admitted that. And it was honest. I hadn't considered that. And I would say this about that situation now that I'm recalling it. It's not that I didn't know that thing. I knew what he was talking about. But I hadn't considered it. Meaning I hadn't really thought about it. And there's a difference between going, well, I know about that, and actually sitting down and going, I really want to think about what are all the implications of this. You know, and Bob Sievers does a really good job of that when it comes to Islam, where he says, we need to consider as Christians all that somebody in that faith gives up when they accept Christ as their Savior. Mm-hmm. That for us, we think, well, just accept Jesus as your Savior and come to the cross. And you don't realize that yes and amen, but they're giving up their community, they're giving up their family, they're giving up everything that they know. It's as if they're kind of having to throw their whole life away in order to come to Christ. And we don't understand like the depth of that. And it's because we haven't considered it. So I think being known for our love is being known maybe for how we sacrifice for the sake of others.
And I'm thinking that James verse, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Mm-hmm. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. I think that's, I'm working on
those
scripture memory.
Navigators, yeah, they really helped you.
Oh, wait, this might be the next week or two I'm going to talk about this. I just started this book on like 100 Bible verses you should know or something. But the first 8 chapters, and they're only like 3 to 5 pages. I had about an hour-long discussion with Marianne the other day. The excitement that's growing in me to memorize scripture, to have that be a daily practice for the whole family, and when I drive Esther in to work on verses. And I haven't said much about it yet because I want to kind of implement it and have some consistency.
Sure.
So it's,
but you want to have success before you see the failure. But I think it's great because, you know, a lot of people come to me and they'll say, I'm dealing with the sin, what should I do? Yeah. And I've said to people at different times, I said, have you considered memorizing scripture? And they say, well, why would I do that? Mm-hmm. I said, because the Bible says that I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the greatest weapon against the desires of your heart is to fill your heart full of the right kind of desires, the things that lead you to God.
Yeah, and that's his first 8 chapters, and I'm rereading. And in fact, there's been, I think, 3 different nights I read it aloud to Holly. Then I'm just like, this is so convincing and convicting. It doesn't leave you an avenue to say, oh, it's not important to memorize scripture, because it goes into how it gets rooted in your subconscious, how it will come out in times that might be surprising. He gives a lot of different examples and illustrations that as a child, this 5, 6, 7-year-old went to Sunday school, but then never had anything to do with the church or anything else. But later on, as a crisis came up, these scriptures surfaced out of nowhere. The guy didn't even know he remembered these scriptures, but they surfaced and formulated a directive that he followed up on, and then really renewed his relationship with Christ through certain circumstances. And he just gives all these great building blocks on why it's important. And we know the power of God's word and how transformative it is. And it should be something that we're filled with constantly. Mm. And it'll influence everything about your life. I want to just kind of read some of these sections over the air. After reading it, it's like, why aren't I filling myself with the best, the priceless, God's holy inspired scripture? And I've had a practice many years ago. I have big bundles of scripture verses I work on. But I used to, like, Jewel Foods, every hour I'd set my watch, the days when we wore watches, to beep. And every hour I'd pull out my little, it was a navigator packet, my verse, and look at it. And, you know, maybe 10 seconds as I'm walking down the aisle or whatever, and then put it back in my pocket. But I did that for some years at Jewel, where every hour it would beep. And I've kind of lost that practice, but he said it's never too late to start it up. And
Yeah. Oh,
I don't know. Maybe this next week we'll talk a little about that, or in a couple weeks. But thank you, God, for your word. Thank you, God, for love and the love that you've extended to each and every one of us, and that you have prayed for us to be unified and to represent him in this hurting culture, in this world. And we get that opportunity and that privilege today to be his representative, his ambassador. It's a wonderful road to walk on to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So may we all cling to him, especially this weekend in church. Get in a good Bible-believing church and praise the Lord together. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.